Let's talk more about this now with the acting Prime Minister, Winston Peters. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
I want to talk first about the planes and then move on to the defence strategic document, which I guess sort of sits above that. Last April in 2017, when the last government agreed to a potential sale agreement, the price was just over $2 billion and the Defence Force was quoted as saying it'd be less than that. Why is it now $2.3 billion? Is that additional cost all involved with this move, or has the purchase price actually increased?
I can't really say why the price would have moved, other than to say it would depend upon the total contract and the all-encompassing future provisions that go with it.
Yeah, looking back at April 29, 2017, the Fairfax report there described it as a, quote, not to exceed price, end quote. Do you have any information about whether this price you've announced yesterday at $2.3 billion, is there a guarantee we won't end up paying any more than that?
Well, I can say that to the satisfaction of Grant Robertson, the finance minister, cabinet, and indeed foreign affairs, who were involved in this decision as well, we believe that we have got a very good, fair, comprehensive deal. And that is the price that we're not going to end up with. For example, what we inherited was a frigate that had blown out by $149 million before we even got there.
So you can guarantee this morning, can you, that $2.3 billion is all we will expend on this project?
I can guarantee we've done the maximum due diligence we could possibly do in all the circumstances. But to give you a blanket guarantee that it might go up by $500,000 or $1 million, I wouldn't want to give you that assurance, no. Mm.
Is the price hedged at this level, or is it set in US dollars, meaning we could pay more if the New Zealand dollar decreased in value relative to the US?
I can give you the facts that we made this decision some time ago in terms of days. We kept it confidential so we could hedge against foreign currency movements so we could keep the price the same.
Okay. Let's move to the military grade of the planes. I don't know whether you heard all of that from the Greens we were playing just prior to you joining us, but their position is clear that from their defence spokesperson, at least, that they don't need this military capability, the bombs and missiles and the anti-submarine warfare. What is your response to that view?
I don't have a response to that view. I mean, I'm here talking about the view of the coalition government. We made our view very profound in terms of its detail and clarity and the work we put on it. We put a lot of work into this procurement to make sure we don't make the mistakes of the past. And I don't want to actually spend time talking about what some other party thinks about the idea.
Back in 2001, Helen Clark said, when making major changes to the defence capability, that, quote, officials considering our national maritime patrol requirements concluded that New Zealand does not need to maintain a maritime patrol force that includes an anti-submarine capability, end quote. Do you know what has changed about the threat and who the threat is now from that determines that we do need this capability?
Well, she was wrong back then and she's wrong now. The reality is we all now are looking at the Pacific, a much heightened stress area of geopolitical challenges and concerns. And we got there because that sort of view was taken back then.
So where is this threat from?
Well, look, have a good hard look at the tensions building in the Pacific. The Japanese recognize it, the French recognize it, the European Union recognises it, Australia recognises it, most of Asia recognises it. So why would you ask a question like that? And it's with great clarity you can see we live in a much more highly stressed area of international and geopolitical competition because we have left, some of us, a vacuum there which others would fill, and it's all there in front of us. And we don't do our population any service by gilding the lily and pulling our sort of verbal punches, so to speak. We should tell the people exactly what's happening and why.
Okay, well, can you tell us then? Who is the threat from?
Well, I have. I've made countless speeches about it, and I'm not going to come on your program and start pointing fingers in that blunt way. It doesn't help my country. It doesn't help our relations internationally. And it doesn't help our chance of being a very significant, influential force in the Pacific, working with other people for an improved economic
outcome. Yeah. Doesn't the strategic defence document point to China as a threat? It says that China...
Well, did you read it?
Yes, I did.
Well, if you read it, why are you asking me those questions? I mean, why are we...
Because I'm not assuming that the...
I'm not assuming that everyone listening has read it. I'm not going to be on your program to have these petty arguments which are of no value to the taxpayers of this country who pay for Radio New Zealand. I'm talking about the long-term security of this country and of the Pacific region, to which we want to be a serious contributor. We put out a defence paper, and for the first time for a long time, we've got a government that's being responsible about that. Your last government that you had on the program announced $20 billion of future procurement plans in 2016, and not $1 was set aside to pay for any of it. And now over 35 years, which is what our plan is about, we intend to ensure that we do things properly, that we defend our capacity offshore, that when our soldiers go into the field, they've got a chance to come back. And when the Pacific asks us for help in a whole manner of reasons, we're able to respond.
Victoria University strategic analyst David Capey says that New Zealand has taken a new path by sounding a note of alarm about China's role in the Asia-Pacific region. And indeed, the defence strategic document we're talking about does go into considerable detail about the threat or concern of China. Do you agree that this is a new path for New Zealand to be so frank in its language?
Well, not really. I mean, I can recall Norman Kirk way back in the 70s telling the French he didn't want nuclear testing in our backyard. And over the years, we've seen... indeed, the political system come to understand that we've got to speak up for ourselves and, dare I say it, for our neighbourhood and the realm countries and other countries with which we have great relationships. And it's not new. It's maybe we've stopped, how shall I say it, we've stopped being scared to spell out the New Zealand voice and our concerns.
So if it's not new, then why has China expressed its concern about us doing this, as you revealed yesterday?
Well, they expressed their concern to me when I was in China a couple of months ago.
But they expressed their concern specifically about New Zealand naming them in this defence strategic document. Did they do that?
Look, the Chinese understand language as well as any population on Earth. They've not been around for 3,000 years because they don't understand the nuances of language. They would just want to know, as they asked me back then, what does this all mean? And our job is to assure them what it means in terms of our diplomatic and foreign policy perspectives.
Thanks for your time this morning. I do appreciate it. That is Winston Peters, who is the acting Prime Minister.